Good morning, and a warm word of welcome to Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. Delighted to have you along with us once again on another Lord's Day morning. And this is a very special day, usually in our church calendar, whenever the young people of our congregation would be taking part. Fortunately, of course, we can't have our normal services, but we are delighted that many of our young people have been able to record various articles and various pieces for us, and we're delighted that they're able to take part today. Now, what is going to be coming up immediately after I finish speaking is we're going to have a piano recital, we're going to have a solo piece, and we're also going to have some scripture readings. And we're going to hand over the young people at this stage, and I do pray that the Lord will bless each of their contributions to your hearts at this time.
I lose my life to find Jordan. I bow my heart, take up my cross and follow him. I bow my heart, take up my cross and follow him.
Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
Let me thank each and every one of the young people who have taken part this morning. We are so thankful for your contributions, and we do look forward as some of our other young people will be coming again this evening to take part. And I invite you even to come along at 7 p.m. and to hear our young people as they will be taking part this evening. Now let's have our Bibles open in that passage which David read for us in Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, as we continue our series in the life and the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, and with our Bibles open before us, let's just have a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we do come to thee even this morning with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we do rejoice, O God, even for what our ears have heard and our eyes have seen this morning. We thank thee for our young people. We thank thee, O God, even for the opportunity that we have had even to have them taking part today. We do pray that thou wilt bless the ministry and song, that thou wilt bless the reading of thy precious word, and even the piece and the piano as well, that thou wilt bless it to each and to every heart. O Lord, even now as we come around thy precious word, we do pray that thou wilt come and speak to us, that each and every thought, each and every word that will be said this day will be owned and blessed of the Lord, that this will be the Lord's message, even for the Lord's people and for the community as a whole at this time. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt speak to hearts. We do pray that thou wilt encourage thy people. We do pray, O God, that thou wilt speak to the backsliders, those that are cold at heart, that thou wilt warm them and draw them afresh even to thyself. We do pray, O God, for the unsaved. Lord, have mercy upon them. O God, we pray for them each and every week. We pray, O God, that this will be the week of their salvation, that their hardened hearts will be softened, that they will turn from their sin. They will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, we do rejoice in thy day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. O God, give us a joy, even this day of remembering and coming to us afresh that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, is alive. And one day he's coming back. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. O Father, even encourage us through thy word, we pray thee. Give us that unction from on high, and may all of the honour, the praise and the glory be given to Jesus Christ and to him alone. In his name we pray. Amen. This particular passage that we want to look at this morning, really dealing just with the opening verses of Jonah in the chapter 3, and I've entitled this message, Jonah the Recommissioned Prophet. Jonah the Recommissioned Prophet. The time in the fish's belly is now over, and Jonah has been taken as low as it was possible to go. chapter 2 and verse 6, it tells us, even as Jonah prayed, that he went down even to the bottoms of the mountains. Jonah has been taken low, but from that lowest of positions, he would look up and he would look on to the Lord. We have studied chapter 2. We have noted how he repented of his sins and how he was reconciled to God. That commission which had been broken between, or that communion, sorry, which had been broken between God and Jonah was restored. Jonah is no longer fleeing, but now is following. The man who had failed God had experienced afresh the glorious truth that God is a faithful God and God is a forgiving God. And chapter 2 had closed with the best occasion of vomiting that there has ever been. You read chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah," or "it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Now, vomiting, of course, it always and quite often speaks to us of sickness. It can be a symptom of flu or disease. It can be a result of disgust or distaste. And we see evidence of the Lord's disgust even in relation to vomiting with the Laodicean church. It was a lukewarm church. In Revelation 3 and verse 16 it says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." But God here in this passage, as we have considered it even last week, God was not disgusted with Jonah, but rather he was delighted with him. For Jonah now is not lukewarm, he is not cold either, rather he is red hot. That prayer meeting in the fish's belly was a red hot prayer meeting. That was a prayer meeting whenever Jonah poured out his soul to the Lord. He poured out all of his cries, all of his worries, everything. He poured it out unto the Lord, beginning with repentance. He repented of his sins, and he cried unto the Lord for forgiveness. He cried unto the Lord that that communion, that union, that relationship would be strong once again between God and between Jonah. And he had vowed to serve the Lord. He had vowed, even in the verse 9, "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And now Jonah is back on dry land. His exact location is unknown. We don't know if he was any closer to Nineveh than when he was first called. We don't know if he was further away or if he was basically at the very same location. Did the fish spew Jonah out near to Nineveh? Did he spew Jonah out at Joppa? Or where was it? We simply do not know. All we know is what is revealed to us in Scripture. God called Jonah again, and God recommissioned him for service. And there are three aspects which I want to leave with you this morning in relation to Jonah's recommission. I want you to see, firstly, in the verse number 1 of chapter 3, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. The verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying." You know, when we started and we began this study in the book of Jonah, we highlighted that this book is not primarily about the man called Jonah. It's not about the great fish. It's not about the great city, but rather primarily it is about a great God. And here at the outset of this chapter, what is brought so clearly, what is brought so strongly to us, is the undeniable fact that God is merciful. You pause for just a moment, and you consider how many notable and visible examples of God's mercy that Jonah experienced. Jonah, our God, was merciful in saving Jonah in the first place. He was merciful in calling Jonah to serve him in Israel, 2 Kings 14:25. He was merciful in calling him to go to Nineveh, chapter Jonah 1 and verse 2. He was merciful in going after Jonah, Jonah 1 and verse 4. He was merciful in preparing a great fish, Jonah 1 and verse 17. He was merciful in preserving Jonah in the fish. Then he was merciful in getting Jonah out of the fish, Jonah 2 and 10. And now God is even willing to use him again. know, surely Jonah could say as he reflected on his life the words of the psalmist. Psalm 103, the verse 10, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." He could say with the words of Lamentations 3 and 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not." My, what mercies Jonah experienced. And even the fact that Jonah was there and he was alive once again, he was up out of the fish's belly, he was upon the dry land, and the word is coming to him. My, he could say, "God has been merciful to me." You see, God is a God of second chances or opportunities. The mercy which Jonah enjoyed was not unique to Jonah. You read through the scriptures. Many of the great characters of the Bible received and enjoyed God's forgiveness and God's mercy. Many of the great characters, those that we can even read about in the chapter, the gallery of faith in Hebrews 11, yet we can trace to times in their lives when they feared the Lord, when they fled from the Lord, when they disobeyed the Lord, and yet the Lord went after them, the Lord had mercy upon them, and the Lord would use them again. Abraham, the friend of God, the father of the faithful, he fled to Egypt where he lied about his wife. And yet God gave him another opportunity and brought him back to Canaan. Jacob would deceive his father Isaac about his identity. And yet God forgave him and used him to build the nation of Israel. Moses killed an Egyptian. He fled from Egypt, but yet God went after him. And he became the greatest leader the Israelite people have ever had. 3 times Peter would deny the Lord, and yet he was the one who was singled out. He was the one who was commissioned, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." John Mark deserted Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And yet God still used him to write the Gospel of Mark. And even before the end of Paul's life, Paul would be speaking highly of Mark again. My friend, that mercy which the Lord has shown time and time again throughout all of the generations is still there today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the devil, the greatest liar the world has ever seen, he tells men and women not to get saved. He discourages men and women, boys and girls, from turning to Christ. And he'll tell them, "You can't keep your salvation. You'll never last. Don't even bother to start. You'll be such a disappointment. You'll not be able to stay a Christian all of your life. You're not going to last the course. You're not going to be as those other ones. Look around at people in the church. Look around at people in your family and the community that are Christians. You'll never get to that level. You'll never be as good as them." My friend, he's right in that regard. You couldn't keep your salvation. You couldn't keep your faith in the Lord. Neither could I. But the master of lies is the master of spin, because this is a reality. God is the one who keeps us. We cannot keep our salvation for ourselves. One moment, one instant, one day, we would be away into the world again. We would not be following after the Lord. We would not be reading his word. We would not be praying unto him. We would not have a desire to follow him and to live for him, to serve him. No, it is in God's love and mercy that he preserves us. You hand your life completely over to the Lord. You hand your life into the Lord's hands. You say, "Lord, please take my life. It's yours." I can guarantee you this, the Lord will keep you. You know, you look at Jonah's life. No one could argue that he was doing a good job as a Christian, the opening couple of chapters. Especially chapter 1, his life was a mess. The once great prophet, great servant of the Lord in the land of Israel. But God, who is rich in mercy, preserved him. God, who is rich in mercy, protected him. God, who is rich in mercy, is now promoting him to service once again. My friend, never forget this. God does hate sin. He detests it. He abhors it. It is vile in his eyes. Never forget God hates sin, but never forget God loves a sinner. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh yes, the devil will speak in your ear. He'll tell you, don't get saved, you'll not be able to keep it. My friend, do get saved, because the Lord will keep you. You give your life to the Lord, you turn from your sins, you repent, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You accept his offer of salvation, that he died upon the cross. He shed his precious blood for your sins. You accept him into your life, you accept him into your heart. You hand your life completely over to him. And my friend, I can guarantee this, the Lord will keep you forevermore. Child of God, maybe you feel the Lord. Maybe in disobedience, maybe fear of man. You think there's no coming back. Praise God in his mercy, Christ is married to a backslider. See, he never gives up on his children. He's a God of mercy. Mercy of God. Then secondly, I want you to see as well in the verse number 1 of chapter 3, the messenger of God. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. You know, it's important to remember that Jonah is not the same man as he was at the beginning of the book. Now, whenever we begin chapter 3, we do not know how much time has passed between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. Did the Lord call unto Jonah as he was lying there upon the beach? As the fish is making its way below the waves once again, did the Lord call on Jonah immediately? Or was it hours, or was it days? We simply do not know how much time passed between Jonah being spewed out onto the dry land and the Lord calling him again. But regardless of how long it was, Jonah's changed. He's different. Oh, he's different on the outside. You want to know, when you want to have a mental picture in your mind, what does Jonah look like? Well, picture a man with bleached white hair, bleached white beard, bleached white skin. You're pretty close. Because that, I believe, was how Jonah would have looked. You see, being in the belly of the fish meant he was exposed to the gastric enzymes. For that period of time, enzymes, of course, with the stomach acids, which would have had an impact upon his appearance. But greater than the change outwardly was the change inwardly. You see, now as Jonah is being recommissioned, as he's being sent to Nineveh, he's going there with the very real and the very clear realization and the very clear experience of God's mercy in his life. The gospel now very much is burning within his heart. It's very real. It's very precious to him once again. He would be heading to Nineveh as God recommissioned him to go to the land of Nineveh, to go to that city and to cry against it. He's going there with joy in his heart. He's going there with zeal for the gospel. He'd be able to speak of God's mercy for sinners as one who had experienced it for himself. Now, I asked you this question this morning. Who are you going to believe out of two? Imagine as the car showrooms are starting to open even at this time. Imagine you're going to buy a new car. There's two different men are there and they're willing to talk to you about the car. One actually owns the car. One has driven the car. One has owned that car for a number of years. He knows exactly what it's like. And the other one has no idea about the car. He's no idea about the make. He's no idea about how good it is, what it offers. He's no idea. Tell me, which one are you going to believe? Which one are you going to listen to? The one who has the experience or the one who has absolutely no experience? Well, here's Jonah. He's coming to these people. He's going to the land of, or the city of Nineveh. He's going there with a burning in his heart. God is a merciful God. Jonah at this time was the perfect man to go to Nineveh. Jonah was the perfect man to speak about wickedness. Jonah was the perfect man to speak about the wrath of God. Jonah was the perfect man to speak of the mercy of God. For Jonah had been wicked in rebellion. Jonah had been wicked in running away from the Lord. Jonah had experienced God's wrath towards him in the storm coming up against him. But Jonah, of course, had experienced the mercy and the grace of God in his own life. Let me say very clearly, that a true messenger of God must first have experienced the mercy of God in their own lives. A true messenger of God must be saved. A true preacher of the gospel, one who will stand to his feet and preach forth the gospel of Christ, a Sunday school teacher, a youth worker, a children's worker, for them to be able to speak of Christ, must have experienced the mercy and the grace of Christ, that saving grace in their own lives first. Or else they are not messengers of God. You know, that's why so many churches who claim to be Christian no longer preach the gospel. Because the one who's up the front has never been saved. Those in authority in those churches have never been saved, and so there is no desire to proclaim the gospel message. There is no desire to proclaim a message that they do not believe in or they do not accept for themselves. And my friend, what good is that for you and for your soul? What good is it to be in a church where the man up the front or even the woman up the front has no experience of the new birth, no experience of salvation in their own lives? They've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. As Matthew 15 and 14 says, they're just the blind leading the blind. And both shall fall into the ditch. You know, you study the scriptures, God never sent a man to preach the gospel who had not been saved first. God never sent a man to preach the gospel anywhere unless first they'd experienced the mercy and grace of Christ in their own lives and was walking with the Lord and desirous to serve him. You know, so often you study the scriptures, in particular, you look at the book of Acts, you look at the epistles of Paul. As he wrote to the various churches, he constantly, the apostles and Paul, what do they speak of? They speak firstly of how the Lord saved them. You read Romans 1 and 1, you read 1 Corinthians 1 and 1, 2 Corinthians 1 and 1, Galatians 1 and 1, and so on. Paul, every time he starts his epistles, what will he speak of? The grace and the mercy of Christ, calling him to be an apostle. See, messengers of God must experience the mercy of God in forgiving them of their sins. Reconciling them to God, or else they are not messengers of God. They're not servants of God, but they're servants of the devil. My friend, I say this today with love for your soul. Never go to a church. Never listen to a man taking a service who has not experienced a new birth and is not saved by the precious blood of Christ. I rejoice this day I have a testimony to give. Tender age of 5, January of 1991, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to wash me of my sins, to cleanse me in his precious blood. And I thank and praise the Lord at that very moment in my life, though I was only a tender boy of the age of 5, yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he saved me. I experienced the mercy and the grace of the Lord in my life at that time. I've experienced the mercy and the grace of the Lord in my life ever since. I've experienced in those times when I backslid, in those times when I wandered, the Lord drew me graciously back unto himself. He never cast me off. He never let me go. He plucked me out of that fiery burning, and he's kept me ever since. I've tasted. I've seen that the Lord is good. And my friend, I can recommend him to you today. There's no greater. There's no one more loving. There's no one more compassionate. There's no one more merciful than the Lord Jesus Christ. We not accept him. We not take him to be your own and your personal Savior. The mercy of God. The messenger of God. But then thirdly and finally in the verse 2, I want you to see the message of God. The message of God. The Lord speaking to Jonah in the verse 2, he says, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Look at those words at the end of that verse again. It says, "Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." You see, a true messenger of God must proclaim the message of God. And the message that God gives him to proclaim. A preacher is not simply to use a pulpit as a platform to proclaim his own thoughts, to proclaim his own ideologies. A preacher is not to use a pulpit as a platform to proclaim a message that the world would simply want him to give. To fit in with the world's ideologies, to fit in with everything that was going on in the world and everything that the world thinks is right. A preacher is not simply to stand up and to bow to public opinion. Many today, and we see it so often in the media and right across the world, those that claim to be religious figures, those that claim to be religious leaders, whatever denomination, whatever faith, whatever creed, whatever our persuasion they are, but yet they will simply present a message that ties in with public opinion. My friend, that's not a messenger of the Lord. A messenger of the Lord presents the message of the Lord and only the message of the Lord. You study through the Old Testament prophets. Their introductions to their sermons, their introductions to their books, to their prophecies to the Israelite people, they always said the same thing. Thus saith the Lord God. They never once started with a thought of their own and of the happenings of the day and what they believed was right and wrong. They always started very clearly, very emphatically, "Thus saith the Lord God." You look at the New Testament. You look at every sermon the Lord Jesus Christ preached. It was always based in Scripture. It was based in the Word of God. You look at every sermon that the apostles preached in the book of Acts. All of them based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yea, Paul would go so far as to say in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16, "Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." What is the gospel? It's the good news. What is the good news? It is Christ Jesus died for sinners. He rose again from the dead and he's able to save. That is the only message that the Lord has given to his church to preach. Go ye into all the world. Preach what? The gospel. Paul would exhort young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. He said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Men and women, every preacher that is called of God must present the message of God. As Ezra highlighted in Ezra 7 and 10, he first applied the message of the Lord to his own heart and to his own life before he preached it. And before Jonah preached in Nineveh, he first was recommissioned by God to be God's messenger in God's message, having experienced God's mercy for himself. My friend, he was the only hope that the Ninevites had. If Jonah did not come and preach the gospel, if Jonah did not come and present the message of the Lord to them, they would have been lost. They would have been damned to hell forever. God's anger was against them. God's wrath was against them. Their sins, their wickedness had come up before the Lord as a testimony against them. He was ready and he was willing to damn them, to send his wrath and his punishment, his judgment against them. But yet when he withheld his wrath, he extended the mercy, he extended the grace, and they had to hear the message. Without the messenger presenting the message of the Lord, how would they have been saved? Romans 10 and the verse 14, it says, how shall they call on whom? On him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, Jonah, as he's commissioned of the Lord, he's told very clearly as he's starting that journey, as he's starting that commission to go to the city of Nineveh, he's told very clearly, Jonah, you preach, yes, but you only preach what I tell you to preach. For the Ninevites, there was only one message to proclaim that would save them. My friend, there's only one message to proclaim that can save you from all of your sins. It's a message that the Lord has given me to proclaim. It's a message that, God helping me, I'll ever proclaim, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And anything less than the message of the Lord, anything less than the gospel of Christ, is a failure to the people and brings dishonor to the glory of Christ. You know, if Jonah had went to that city and brought them a wee thought for the day from his own mind, Jonah had just brought them a wee encouraging message just to help lift them and make them feel good about themselves, to make them feel special, my friend, they would have been lost forever. They would have been damned to hell. You know the best message? You know the most special message to hear? The one that will make you feel most special is that even though you deserve hell for your sins, yet the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and is willing to save you even now. All you simply have to do is come and accept it. And you think of how special that is, that the eternal Son of God, he left the splendors of glory and he came down into this sin-cursed world and he shed his precious blood. He endured all of the miseries of this world. He endured all of that physical punishment at the hands of the Jews and of the Romans. And then he endured all of the spiritual punishment at the hands of his Father. He did it all for you. Does that not make you feel special? That's why the hymn writer wrote, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he can love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. That is the most special message. My friend, will you not accept? Only message to proclaim. I can only proclaim it because I've experienced it for myself. As I said, I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Will you not experience it for yourself? Will you not come even now and put your faith and trust in Christ? Not simply thank the Lord Jesus Christ for dying for you upon the cross. Accept the gift of eternal life which he offers to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before thee with praise, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do, Lord, sit back in amazement and wonder to think that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. And, O God, we do pray that thy message of the gospel, that by thy Spirit it will penetrate deep into each and to every heart, that men and women, boys and girls, O God, will realize that unless they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will be lost forever. O Father, we thank thee that thou art a merciful God. We thank thee even for the mercy that we can see in the life of Jonah, even in giving him that opportunity to serve thee again. Lord, we thank thee for the mercy of God, even in my own life, in saving me. In the life of so many, O God, even in our own congregation. But Father, I pray that for those that are still outside of Christ, those that listen in to our broadcasts even at this time, O God, that thou wilt have mercy upon them, and they will experience the mercy of God in their own lives. Bless each one, we pray thee. Bring us again, even to watch again this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.